You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Art of Love. My name is Lucia, and I'm your host and a dating and relationship expert. And I'm here to entertain, educate, and enlighten you about love, dating, and relationships, take your live calls, answer your emails, and speak to authors of books which I find interesting. And today we are going to learn to date like grown-ups. Yes. We usually start off dating like children, and we make all our mistakes, and then we're like, okay, something's got to change here. So that's when we need to make the transition into learning to date like grown-ups. And we may not know what that looks like, but we're going to find out. And my guest only works with women, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. But that doesn't mean that if you're a guy, you can't listen to the show. I'm sure you can learn something, too. And then also, you may know a woman that you might want to refer. So the book is called Confessions of the World's Worst Dater. The author is Bobby Palmer, and the website is datelikeagrownup.com. So welcome to the show, Bobby.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you here. So a little bit about Bobby. She spent 25 years in the corporate world creating, delivering, and managing training programs which help people develop business and life skills. She also taught Navy personnel how satellites communicate to Earth. Very impressive. She's now a dating relationship coach helping women find love. So how did you come to write this book?
I wrote the book for women because I wanted to share my experience. I wanted to help other women who were sort of stuck in the same place I was, which was, for my case, 45 years old and single and not wanting to be. So I wanted to help them understand what my journey was from that point to the point at 47 when I was married and changed my life. And wanted to save them some of the pain and some of the time it took me to finally get to the point where I got what I wanted in my life.
Right. In fact, you said that when you were in your 40s, you learned that you were being dishonest with yourself. So what did you mean by that?
Yeah. I was telling myself that I wanted to be single, that it was my preference. I was telling myself that it was all great and okay. And then it was men's fault. My story was that I was single because I was choosing it, and that the men that I was meeting, it wasn't working out because of them. It was their fault. They were superficial. They weren't giving me a chance. They didn't want smart women. They didn't want successful women. All these stories that I was telling myself to make myself feel okay about my choice. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't about that. It was really about fear and the decision that I made to stay single for so long, or at least when I tried not succeed, was because I was afraid.
Yeah, in fact, you said that you were sabotaging every date you went on. I doubt it was every date, but anyways, and you were ruining a chance of a second date. So what the hell were you doing?
I was making it very clear to men that I was strong, and I was independent, and I was smart. And if they didn't like that, that was just their problem and their loss. And basically, what I finally learned was I was starting every date or every conversation I had with a man by screaming out loud, "I don't need you. I don't want you." And when I finally learned and when I finally understood that's what men were hearing, it was like it was like just sort of a rock. It was something that made me wake up and realize that wasn't really the message I wanted to give. It was basically starting every date with saying, I don't know why I'm here. Don't waste your time with me. But then I got to leave the date saying, see, they just don't like women like me. So I was doing that because I think it felt like it was me making the decision I didn't want them. It's crazy. Does this make any sense to you?
Of course. been there, yeah. Done that. So it's almost like, look how wonderful I am, and if you don't like me, it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt me. I'm just going to keep it moving.
Yeah, too bad. And then I got to leave saying, see, it's their fault. I'm just, you know, I always thought they just wanted women who were, you know, 5'10", blonde, skinny, and silly. And some men do. That's
right,
true.
Right.
But really what it was me shutting them down before they could reject me.
Right. And so what did that look like specifically? What were you doing or saying?
Oh, okay. So I'll give you sort of the first, literally, within 10 minutes of meeting a man, it went something like this. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry I'm late, because I was always late. I'm so sorry I'm late. I've been so busy. I've worked so much this weekend. I've got this huge project, this multimillion-dollar project, and I've got all these people working for me, and I had to, you know, get everything together for them, and I've just been, you know, so crazed, and I'm leaving, you know, in 2 weeks to go to Paris, and I just got so much going on. You know, it was just like this endless, like, I'm so busy, I have so much going on, I have such a full life. And what happened was I had a coach who said to me, do you know what they're hearing? And she said, you know the Charlie Brown, like, wah, 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 like,
yeah.
You just don't hear it. She said, you know what they're hearing? They're just hearing loud and clear, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't want you, I don't need you. And I thought, really? That's crazy. But when I really thought about it, that's exactly, it was like a megaphone. And that was kind of my behavior. And then I kind of like take a deep, I was very dramatic. Looking back, I was just this little drama queen. I take a deep breath and I would go, so how are you? How was your day? And they would look at me with this blank stare, like, what am I going to do with this woman?
Right. Wow. Yeah, because I guess, I mean, if you put yourself in their shoes, imagine you met a guy and he was late and he was like, oh, yes, I've been doing this and that, and then I'm going to Paris for 2 weeks. I mean, you would think, wow, this guy was not going to have time for me in his life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it wasn't that what I was saying was untrue. It wasn't that I was making it up. It wasn't that I was, you know, putting it on for show. And this is what I tell my clients. It's not about being fake or phony. It's about showing your whole self, not just leading with this kind of like crazy masculine, you know, intense energy. And I call it my wall of I dare you. In my book, I talk about my wall of I dare you, which is starting out with, I dare you to like me. I dare you not to like me. I dare you to make me need you, want you. I dare you to reject me first. You know, all of those things. Uh-huh. I thought I was being very smart.
So by saying those things, that was like a dare. It's like, I'm going to put up this wall, and so I dare you to break down this wall.
Yeah, it's true. And I hear this from clients all the time, Lucia. I hear, well, if they're not willing to work just a little bit to see past that and give me a chance, then I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
And I think, wow, why do we have to make them work so hard?
Yeah.
Why? Right. And there's so many aspects of our personality and our life and our life and what we care about and who we want to be. Why are we leading with this? And I hear it from every woman I talk to and work with who's kind of in the same spot, and that's we lead with it because we think it's protecting us. And we think that the guy who's going to get past that is the one.
Right.
But why would we think that some guy is going to climb this crazy wall when he doesn't know anything else about us but that?
Right. And then also I think the thinking is, okay, if he's willing to do this, then I know that he truly loves me and therefore he'll never leave me.
That's right. Yeah. Then he gets me. Right? He gets me. Yeah. And you know, like you mentioned, I do work only with women in my coaching work, and my workshops and so forth. But like yesterday, you know, I did a workshop, and there were 35 women there, and I taught them about online dating. Even though I work only with women directly, so much of my work is helping them understand men and understand that it's okay to be real and to be authentic, and that's really what men want. It's really important to me in my work with women to help men so that they can meet these women are really fabulous, but like I was, they're just holding back all this stuff out of fear.
Right. In fact, you remind me of a friend of mine, because we use the analogy of a wall, and the analogy she used was, you know, she would like figuratively, like beat these men down, like just be so bad to them that she said, you know, she would beat them down, and then if they still got up, then they were the one.
That's right. And oh, and then don't forget, after that, then we complain because they're weak, or we complain because, you know, they let us get away with the stupid stuff. Why don't they stand up to me? Yeah, it's I know those women. I was that woman.
Right.
And the thing is, when we learn, I'll speak for myself, and you know, when I learned that it was okay, to be, to show all of my personality, and to kind of like take that breath that I took when I finally went, so how was your day? When I learned it was okay to start with that, and then eventually he would see all that other stuff in me, it was so, oh my gosh, it took away the exhaustion of it all. And it was so much more fun. And even though maybe I wasn't meeting the one, which of course I ultimately did.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I was enjoying my time with these men so much more. And they were too. They weren't leaving. I could tell, you know, they weren't leaving in retrospect, I noticed, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, that's an hour of my life I'll never get back.
Yeah, I guess it's about making the other person feel safe. And you can't do that if you're just leading with your resume.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And just, and to enjoy yourself, even if you're not the guy I'm going to marry,
yeah.
I can still have fun with you. I can still like you, yeah.
Right.
And you could still be a good guy, right?
Absolutely.
That's the thing, too. Yeah, you don't have to be the one to be a really good guy. So, mm-hmm. So men out there, I do want you to know, there's a lot of women that are working really hard at understanding how to not just present themselves and be, but understanding how men think and feel so that they can create really good relationships. Women are working really hard at this after spending many years in careers and really sort of manning up.
Now they're womaning, now they're womaning up.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so speaking of your husband, now we're going to talk about him since you're obviously, you know, you're married finally.
Yay.
Yay. So you said that when you first, because you met him on Match.com, and you said you didn't have much interest in his appearance. So, like, why? What happened?
Which he loves me telling. He loves me saying that.
Well, don't take it personally.
Yeah. He loves when I announce that to the world. We did connect through Match.com. You know, his picture just didn't do it for me. It wasn't like I looked at his picture and went, whoa, I want to meet this guy. His profile wasn't screaming to me as, I didn't fall in love with his profile, which, by the way, guys, you may or may not know this. Women can fall in love with a profile,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yes.
We do it all the time. and which is why when we meet you, maybe we're disappointed because we've created this ridiculous fantasy about who you are. Anyway, you know, Lucia, I saw his profile and I thought, oh, he looks like a nice guy. And he lives in my neighborhood. And, he's not, you know, he's not gorgeous, but he's attractive enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, My politics are like my, you know, sort of like my religion in a way. I'm very passionate about them, so I look for someone who shares my passion. And he had that, and I thought, well, those are like my potential must-haves. So I'll meet him. And when I met him, wow, I'm really glad I did. It took us a month of working out even our first meeting.
Wow.
And I wasn't working that hard at it because I wasn't that excited about it.
Right.
And I met him, and I've never been on another date, woohoo, except with him.
Wow. So did he, when you met him, then did he look better than the picture, or he looked like the picture but you didn't care, or what happened?
He looked better than the picture.
Oh, okay, good.
How could I say otherwise?
Yeah,
no.
Really? He looks better. Worse than the picture.
You know, it's true. You know, it's true of... the fact is that a picture always says so much. There's great-looking pictures of people, and then you meet them, and you go, what the heck,
right?
Like, they're nothing,
right.
And vice versa. When I met him and we talked, and the feeling that I had, and this is so important, this is what I teach to women. It's not about how they look. It's not about this silly checklist that we have. It's this feeling that you have when you're sitting with him and you're sharing time with him. And when I had that with him, it was like, oh, my God. It was like a feeling of being home. It was comfort, and it was safety, and it was just happiness. And so how could he not look gorgeous to me?
So was it like an instant connection?
It was an instant. It wasn't for me. It was an instant I really like being around this man.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently for him, it was instant. I think she's the one.
Wow.
So fun. He took his profile down the day after we met.
Wow.
Yeah, the day after we met. And he told me, and I said, oh, that's good. That's nice.
That's nice. La, la, la.
It took me about, it took me like 2 weeks. I wasn't far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, there were some complications. You know, we'd need a 3-hour time to chat about that. But there were complications in his life that led me to believe that he wasn't really available.
Mm.
And I was ready to get married. And the first 10 minutes of our conversation were about his, he was actually separated. And I didn't realize that when I went to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice it on his profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm wasting my time. I'm ready to get married. Why aren't you divorced? And he said, well, I've been separated 5 years. And honestly, and this is my best part, my favorite part, honestly, I guess I haven't been divorced. We've been living in – but really because I'm not planning on getting married again.
Ooh.
That's what he told me. And we got married 6 months later. Yeah, 6 months later we were married.
Wow. So –
so the next day the story changed after he spent a few hours with me. Wild, huh?
Ah, so he had been planning on not getting married again until he met you.
Right. And you know, this is a hard story to tell in a way because I do, one thing that I really do sort of stand by in my experience and in that of my clients is, you know, when a man says something, he means it.
Right.
In this particular case, he kind of changed it in, you know, within a week, so... my thing was, I'm just going to spend time with him. He was nice. He was new to the area. I'll show him, you know, he wanted me to show him some restaurants. And I thought, well, you know, I'll spend some time with this nice man till, you know, the guy I'm going to marry pops in.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness I did, because in 6 weeks, we planned our wedding.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And 6 years, our next anniversary is our 6-year anniversary.
Well, wow, that's crazy. That's great. You know, you said that he gives love in such an open, unconditional, infinite way that I feel completely safe mm-hmm. returning it freely and without limitation. So what does that look like? Because I think, a lot like we were talking earlier about women, they keep themselves closed until they know it's safe, but also not realizing that unless they open themselves up, you know, because sometimes when you come from a very loving, well, I know when you come from a very loving place, then you just open that loving place in another person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what did he do?
Right. Yeah. Okay. We both tell each other multiple times a day we love each other. We both are very clearly concerned about the other person's happiness every day, all the time. We trust each other. We don't have that, you know, and I keep saying we and not he, because it's like exactly what you said. He would not be able to offer me this and show me this if I hadn't been right there with him returning it. It wouldn't have been acceptable to him. Mm-hmm. So you're right. We can't wait for them to make us feel safe. We have to trust ourselves and feel safe ourselves and show that we can not only give that, but receive it, right? That's our big, women have such a problem receiving. And I, from the beginning, understood that I needed to be able to receive. And when he first said, for instance, you know, I'm taking my profile down because I want to focus on you, you know, I didn't say, you know, the old me might have said, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because it would have made me kind of freaked me out a little
bit.
The new me, who, you know, after I did the work and I understood, the new me said, oh, that's really nice. That's great. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you tonight. I mean, that was it. So he shows his love every day just by, I just know every day that it's so important to him that I'm happy and that I know that he loves me. No question.
But don't you think the fact that he took his profile down the next day, which most men are not going to do that. In fact, sometimes you're dating them and they still have their profile up. Don't you think that completely made you feel so safe that you were easily able to reciprocate?
That definitely did make it. That definitely did make it easier. And the reason I'm hesitating in my answer, that's interesting. I've never even thought about that. after all these years, I guess it did. And part of it that made it easier, to be honest, is that I thought he wasn't available.
Right.
So by the time I fell in love with him, which was, you know, pretty quick, we met on a Friday afternoon. We had coffee. And he said to me, let's have coffee, and if we don't gross each other out, let's have lunch. That's exactly what he said. And we still say this to this day. Am I grossing you out yet? and we had coffee for 15, 20 minutes, and then he said, are you grossed out? And I said, no, not really. And then we had lunch. And the next night we had dinner, and we knew. We just kind of knew. Mm-hmm. I felt safe with him. So maybe it was that I knew really quickly that I was safe in that way. But to tell you the truth, him taking his profile down, you know, as you know, doesn't ensure he's not going to ever put it back up.
Right. Absolutely.
But I do have to, but, you know, if I can say one thing about what you mentioned about, you know, guys not taking their profile down, which these days is the way to say you want to be exclusive, right?
Yes.
Taking your profile down.
Yes.
It is my experience with the vast majority of women that I work with and friends of mine as well who meet men, the men know almost instantly. The men know almost instantly, and the women take longer. Almost 100% of my clients who are in love now, the men knew almost instantly. Like within a couple of weeks, the men were in. They were just in, and the women were like, I don't know. He's not really my type. And I'd say, oh, good, he's not your type, because your type hasn't worked out so far. And it would take them a little bit of time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, so I think, yeah.
So now everyone that, if they're dating a guy and he doesn't fall in love within 2 weeks, they're going to think it's not going to work out. I mean, that's...
it's not that I'm saying that every man falls instantly. I'm not.
Okay.
But I do think that generally, men tend to have more clarity sometimes about what will make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have this thing that we get stuck on, this like knight on a white horse. I'm gonna stick to my story.
Okay.
I think in my experience that men tend to know quicker than we do when he's with a woman who can make him happy. That doesn't mean it's 2 weeks.
Okay.
But a lot of times they know quicker.
Right. So then if you've been dating a guy, let's say 3 months, and he still hasn't taken his profile down, is that cause for concern?
Yes. If one of my clients or my friends, you know, if somebody was in that situation, I would tell them, if they're and this is the grown-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a grown-up thing, right. Right? So I specialize in working with women over 40. When you're talking about people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s, I've got clients in their 70s, it's not, you know, if you haven't figured out in 3 months with somebody that that's a person that can make you happy for the rest of your life mm-hmm. and that you love being with, I think that, yeah, I think it's a good sign that it's because it's not the one. And so if a man hasn't figured that out in a few months, it's probably not going to be there.
Right.
Cause maybe when you're 25, because, right,
yeah.
25, 30, you're learning so much and evolving, and by 55, you know what you want. You know what makes you happy and what doesn't.
Right, yeah, because now we have what's called, you know, Facebook, excuse me, official, like your relationship isn't official unless it's on Facebook.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
That actually is a thing, you know, that my clients are like, do you think it's okay if I put it on Facebook, he's my boyfriend? I'm like, I don't know, ask him. But it's a sign.
That's one way to know. It's like, can I change my relationship to status to in a relationship? No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You may not want to hear the answer, but it's a good question to ask at some point after you've had some conversation.
Yeah, because I know that whole issue comes up, like, we've been dating, he hasn't changed his status on Facebook, what should I do? And there's so many fights over it, over the person not changing their status. It's like, if he doesn't want to change it, then you're not.
Right, and if you're fighting over it, then that's a sign. If you're fighting over whether
status.
To have a relationship or not,
right.
then you're not. Right?
Exactly.
You know? I'll tell you one other thing that's 100% true. This is 100% true of every woman I've worked with that's now in love. And when I say, the reason I say in love is because some are married, some are living together, some are, you know, developing, you know, moving to one of those things. Because, you know, 65-year-old women, not really looking to get married as much.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, their relationships, what's consistent with every single one of them and with mine, is that they're so easy.
Mm.
This is why I think it's the best time to be looking for love, is that you got two adults who know themselves, who like themselves, and who are clear about what makes them happy. And when those two people find each other, the ego isn't there like it used to be, but the clarity is, and it's easy. And if it's not easy, it's not right.
Yeah, you're so right. Because if you're sitting around wondering, it's like, what's going on? Like, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Then it's probably not the right person, because you wouldn't have those questions
mm-hmm.
otherwise.
Yeah, it is really true. And again, I don't think that's true when you're in your 20s and 30s, maybe. But
right.
when you're 50s and 60s, if it's complicated and it's hard and there's, you know, you're struggling with communicating, it's not a good fit. Or somebody needs to learn some skills.
Or someone's not a grown-up.
Yes, exactly.
Someone
exactly.
hasn't grown up, even though they're 70.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's so much fun. I mean, it's really so much fun because the nonsense isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just two people really supporting each other and really sort of just being best friends and stepping up and you know, having each other's back and all those things that when we're younger we think, oh, I just wish I had that. For some of us, like me, it takes us a while to get there. But when you do, it is really, it's delightful. And you don't get that. You know, something I've never said in the 7-ish years I've known my husband is, mm-hmm. you know, what do you mean by that?
What is that supposed to mean?
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Because when you're talking to each other and you know you're loved, you just don't, that stuff doesn't come up.
Right. You don't automatically take something negatively.
Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You take it with, okay, the intention is probably good. He probably just really didn't mean it that way.
Right. Like if he yells, get out of the way, it's because maybe something's about to hit you on the head.
That's right, exactly. Exactly. Rather than you're stupid.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know, your website is called Date Like a Grown-Up. So what does it mean to date like a grown-up?
One big part of it, like we were talking about, is to know what you want and know what you don't want. And so part of that and so what that really is about personal responsibility. So to date like a grown-up means you are taking responsibility for becoming the best partner you can be and making the best choice in a partner than you can make. So that's not about him or her. It's about you and you acting like a grown-up in when you connect with somebody. And then the other part of it is being responsible for good communication. Mm-hmm. Learning some good skills. And then it's also having a good balance between heart and head. And this is especially for women, instead of approaching everything from an emotional standpoint, which is what I call, you know, grabbing your 18-year-old when you feel, right? Like that, I was telling the ladies yesterday, you know, when somebody doesn't email you back, right? Somebody that you've emailed twice or three times, yes. And he disappears. The reason you get so upset is it's your 18-year-old that's so upset.
Right.
It's like, why doesn't that boy like me? And you're 57. So dating like a grown-up is realizing that he doesn't know you. You don't know him. That's how it is. Move on. That's the intellect.
Right.
So it's having that balance. It's having that balance.
Yeah. In fact, the best quote I heard about that was, when you follow your heart, be sure to take your brain with you.
Yes. Bingo. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, you said women have been making choices based on what feels good, but rather it should be based on what is good for them.
Yeah. The Dalai Lama talks about pleasure versus happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And making choices that aren't just that don't just feel good right now, but make you happy for the rest of your life. And that's, you know, a 30-year-old or 25-year-old sleeps with a man because it may feel good right then, and because she hopes it makes him like her.
Mm-hmm.
And a 55-year-old doesn't sleep with a man because she knows that's the right thing for her,
right,
in the long run. And so she's thinking about herself and what's going to make her happy and what's going to create the best possible relationship for her. So, yeah, that's an example.
Yeah, and if anyone listening is under 40, and of course there are, then it's better if you learn this now, so you practice this now and don't make all those mistakes and have all that baggage by the time you do get to 40.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I mean, I do focus with women over 40 because that's my life experience. I do tend to say that. And this is true. This is true of anybody who wants to have a grown-up relationship. And I have, you know, gals in their late 20s who work with me. If you want to have a grown-up relationship, it's about acting like a grown-up first.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, because I see, like, or I hear of, you know, people write to me about fights. And most of these fights, it's like, why is this even a fight? You know, I mean, if one of you mm-hmm. had been a grown up, this fight would not even have gotten anywhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's when you really do trust someone loves you. And the only way for me personally, one thing, I have a 6-step system, and, one of those, the first step in my system is falling in love with yourself, right? So that's learning about yourself, what you love, what makes you happy, and the woman that you want to be when you meet this man, and the woman that you bring to the relationship. But one of the steps too is just being really aware of when you're aware of what will make you happy, and you choose that person, then you don't have all that stuff. You don't have all that doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that doubt about whether somebody really cares about you that creates the silly fights.
Right.
And when you trust yourself to make a good choice, so a lot of that is mistrust of yourself. Like, oh gosh, does he really, you know, did I pick right? Is he really somebody that will stay with me forever? It's all that, that's all the kind of like self-doubt. It can drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you
make you not trust.
Right. And in fact, you said instead of women when they meet a man wondering, you know, I wonder if he likes me, they should actually be asking, do I like him? Do I feel good when I'm with him?
that was life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm.
When, and, you know, I worked with a coach. I should say, you know, I mean, I'm a dating relationship coach, and some people, I've heard people have said to me, why would somebody need that?
Oh, please.
and the truth is, that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. I didn't make the transition in my life, the transformation in myself. My coach, that was one of the life-changing things that she shared with me, is, you know what, next time you go out on a date, instead of thinking, I hope he likes me, I hope he likes me, I hope he likes me, why don't you think, I hope I like him? Just go and think, I hope I like him. And it was so, it never occurred to me to think that way.
Yeah, we're not socialized.
And when I switched, we're not, right? We just want boys to like us so bad.
Right.
That's our 18-year-old. That's like our 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go thinking, I hope I like him, wow, clients tell me this all the time, what a different experience it is to go that way. And I'm like, yeah, that's what changed so much of my experience in dating.
Yeah, because then you're not trying to impress him. You're just there to observe and see if you like him.
Yeah. I call it discovering, not deciding. That's another part of sort of the grown-up, you know, dating part, is when you meet somebody, you're not, you know, don't meet him to decide if he or she is the one. Meet him to discover things about them. And when you have enough information, that's when you'll decide. That's when you can decide if they're the one. And so you can only do that when you go thinking about, I hope I like him, or I hope I like her. You can't go that if you're always in your head worrying about whether they like you.
Yeah, because maybe if you actually step back and think, well, wait a minute, I'm just worried about him liking me. Do I even like him? And then you think, no.
Exactly. And then it becomes ego, right? Because then even if you know somebody's
right,
not right for you,
right.
How many times, I can look back so many times I was so upset. Oh, God. Very, very quick story, if I can.
Of course.
I had a gal, you know, I had a client who was really, really hot for this guy, and I had the same, I've had the same experience, who, you know, maybe dated him for 2 months and thought he, you know, quite possibly could be the one, and he really did dump her like a hot potato. I mean, one minute he was in and 1 minute he was out, and it's hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she cried for like an hour, and then she called me and she said, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
He was so wrong for me. He was so wrong for me.
Right.
So it's sometimes it's just ego.
It's always
right?
ego.
That pain that we feel about it. It's not because they were right. It's not because he would have made a great life partner. It's because you think, and it's also, oh God, another one bites the dust. It's not about the person. It's about the idea.
Right. The fact that I've made yet another mistake. I chose the wrong person.
Exactly. Picker's off.
Right. You talk about vulnerability, and you said the level of vulnerability you need to authentically connect with a man is definitely kicked up a notch, and it will take courage for you to allow yourself to be that exposed. So what do you mean? Like, what are we exposing here besides our private parts?
Yay, that's a great part of it. Well, you're exposing yourself to rejection. That's the bottom line. All that pain that I was trying to keep myself from, it was really about feeling rejected. And it's okay. The vulnerability is, oh, I'm going to show that I like him before he likes me.
Mm.
That leaves me open to being hurt. But you know what? What I finally learned was, I would much rather know that I put myself out there and I let him know I was interested and I let him see the real me and have it not work out, then have it not work out and always wonder if it was because he didn't even know me or because he didn't even know that I was open to him. So the vulnerability is really just about being yourself and being honest and taking what comes your way.
Like, okay, can you be a little bit more specific? Like, what do you mean? Like, you say be
honest
or being yourself.
Like an example, do you mean like real life? What does that look like?
Yeah,
an example is those, you know, how I used to start my dates,
mm-hmm.
right? With how great everything was and how together I was and, you know, how much control I had over my life.
Mm-hmm.
Even, even, even on a first date, telling somebody, you know, something like asking them to help you, saying that you have a decision that you're making right now in your life that's challenging, or telling them that you've made a mistake, God forbid, you know, or that something's hard for you, or telling them that, you know, you're really wanting to meet somebody and really looking forward to having a partner in life. Just being really open about that. That's vulnerability. That's showing you're not perfect. That's showing you're maybe not lonely, but like putting it out there that, you know what, my life could be better. I want my life to be better. It's not perfect. It's not where I want it to be. A lot of women, I don't know about men so much, I'm sure there are some, but we feel like if we put that stuff out there, it's like showing our weakness in some way. Mm-hmm. That's our humanity.
Right.
That's our humanity. So when I say about, you know, showing up, being, you know, being open to being vulnerable, I'm really talking about being who you are for real.
Yeah.
And that it's just completely okay, even on a first date, to say, I'm really looking forward to meeting the one. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
My life's good, but it's going to be better when I meet the one. That's showing a bit of vulnerability. At least, you know, in my eyes it was.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was showing a weakness at some point, but I don't think it was. I think that shows strength.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're just saying, you know, you don't want to come across as, you know, superwoman, like, I'm so perfect, everything's great, and...
Yeah, I mean, if you are, you know, more power to you, but most of us really aren't, right? Yeah, you're not, you're just showing that you're real, and, you know, men, the when I talk to men, I mean, I talk to a lot of men. I have, I do, you know, man panels where I interview men, and I have a something that I have put together with the interviews with, you know, a bunch of men asking all kinds of questions about dating relationships. And one thing that men really value in women is authenticity. And that woman that I was, for instance, that used to show up, that was it. They could see right through that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
They could see right through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the vulnerability, I think when you're being authentic and you're being real, again, that shows your humanity, that shows that you're a real person, and that's what people connect to.
Okay.
That's what men and women connect to.
Right, definitely. Okay, you also talk about, you know, men want to feel needed, just like us men feel good when someone relies on them. In fact, they require it. So how can a woman show a man that she needs him or that she needs men in general?
I'm glad you asked that. It's one of the hardest things right?
Yeah.
Many of the women I work with are like me. They're older. They're in their 40s and 50s and never been married, especially, and a lot of them too have been divorced a long time. We've been taking care of ourselves a long time, and we do a good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
In order, you know, men need to feel like there's a space in our that we'll make space for them. Just like we need to feel that for men, it's no different, right? And you need to feel, in order for you to feel like you are being a good partner, I think it's important for anyone to feel like you are enhancing someone's life and that person needs and wants you. So we can help men by just doing the little things like asking everything from, can you help me get that box off that tall shelf? This is homework I give my clients that have challenges with this, which, by the way, like everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, twice a day, this is homework I give them for the first few weeks I work with them. Every day, at least twice a day, I want you to ask a man for help. And I get this look like, are you kidding me? I am not going to do that. No. I mean, right? Because that's like our wall.
Yeah.
I do not need help from a man. And these are very successful women, right? So it's everything from asking from to get that box from the top shelf, which if you do that, a man, guy walking by will just glow if you even ask him that, to asking his opinion, to give, you know, asking his advice, his opinion is a huge way to show a man that, you know, you need him and that you have room for him. There's so many ways to let a man in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just carrying your boxes for you.
Mm-hmm.
right? It's also showing vulnerability. When you show that you're sad or you're mad or you're frustrated or you're confused, that when you show that to a man, that lets him know that you're open to him giving. And that's a gift. I think that's a gift that you can give a man, is to let him help you, is to let him add to your life. And we're so programmed, as, you know, in a, sort of the Gloria Steinem, you know, I would say this, in the women that grew up with the big women's lib type, the messages, we could do it all alone. It's okay, you know, you don't need a man. We tend to go kind of overboard, and we have to kind of rethink.
Yeah, in fact, I got a surprise once, you know, someone I was dating, and I was, you know, always, you know, the strong one, and didn't let him see any vulnerability. And then, you know, something happened, and I started crying, and he's like, wow, I like that. It makes you more attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And in between my tears, I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
I know, it seems crazy, doesn't it? You know what I told? So yesterday, one of the tips that I told my clients about their online profiles, I don't want to see I'm low maintenance, and I don't want to see that, you know, I don't expect anything. I don't want to see this I'm easygoing. Men aren't necessarily looking for quote-unquote low maintenance. They want you to need things. They want you to have expectations. They want you to have room for them to fix things in your life, just like we want that from men. They just don't want the unnecessary drama. That's different. So, yeah, that crying that you were doing, oh, my gosh, a man who cares about you, I could see him just going, oh, my God, look how beautiful that is.
Right.
Look how wonderful that is. I can help her.
And,
yeah.
And if he doesn't like you, because the opposite happened, the guy's like, I got to go.
Yeah, it's a sign, right? Because here's the thing. So one of my favorite quotes of all time is Albert Einstein. Women marry men hoping they'll change. Men marry women hoping they won't. So each is inevitably disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what happens is so often we women, I was one of them, when the few times I was in relationships, we go in trying to be Miss, I don't need anything, I'm low maintenance, you know, it's all about you. And we twist like a pretzel, and we attract, by the way, the wrong men, but right. That's another story. But we twist like a pretzel, right? We snag them. Yay, we snag them. And then like 2 years down the line, we're so sick of him, everything being about him. We're so sick of being what we're not, and we start bringing out like our real self. And the man looks at us and goes, who the hell are you? I didn't marry you.
Right.
And all hell breaks loose. So, yeah, it's about just being that real person from the beginning. And the man that runs away when you start crying, he's the guy, you know, you shouldn't marry.
That's right. Maybe that's maybe that's the test.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, maybe that's the test. That's the test to know.
Yeah.
Just start crying and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, though, you know, in a way, I do encourage women to, on things that matter,
right,
by the way, I do encourage women to state their expectations and their needs. In a way, I teach them the way to do it in a way that gets good results and isn't a demand. But in a way, by doing that, you're kind of putting it out there, like, are you the guy? Like, are you the guy that's willing to, like, call me because I hate texting?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, that's okay, but you're not for me.
Right.
It's a bit of a test.
That's right.
So the crying is sort of the same thing.
All right. Now we have our man test to find out if he's the one.
Exactly.
Yay, we solved the world.
Get ready, guys.
That's right. Everyone's going to start crying now. It's been, I love this interview. It just flowed so easily and freely, and it's over, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I just don't even believe that.
I know.
Great.
Yeah, so your website is Date Like a Grown-Up. I know you have a lot to offer, so just you could briefly let people know what you have going on that site.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. Yeah, it's datelikeagrownup.com, and my ebook, the book that we're talking about right now is on my website. I have over 150 articles that I have many, many men that read my articles, by the way. If you want to understand how women think, it's great. And for women who are single and looking for love and not just not getting it, just not being able to figure it out, I can help you. I've got my ebook. I've got private coaching. I do telecourses. I do live workshops like I did this weekend. And I have all kinds of great things coming up, all my interviews with men that'll be available. And I just want to find any way I can to help women love themselves, love and understand men, and connect with the right guys.
Right. It doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to take you 45 years like it took you.
No. No, it doesn't. Exactly. It doesn't. And it's all about making the right choices. And it could be really, really fun and easy.
Exactly.
And you can make a really great partner for a good man.
That's right. Well, thank you, Bobby, so much for being on. It was great.
Thank you. It was really, really fun. I'm so glad you had me as a guest. Thanks.
My pleasure. Okay, all the best. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, hope you enjoyed that. I know I did. My website is theartoflove.net, where I have my weekly newsletter you can sign up for, and latest news, see what's up with me. There's always something going on with me, of course. My articles, my book, Lucia's Lessons of Love, which is also available at lessonsoflove.net. So thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, remember that love inspires, empowers, uplifts, and enlightens.
You're listening to The Art of Love with your host, Lucia, right here on LA Talk Radio.